Okay, Boker Tov. Today's daf is Shabbos Daf Tzadik. We are holding Pei Tes Amud Beis, the Mishnah, towards the bottom of the page. Pei Tes Amud Beis, the Mishnah. We're going back now to the after the Agadah Gemaras about Shavuos and Matan Torah, Kabbalas Torah, and all the rest of this parak really was dealing with all the various Menayans, the seven Menayans. How do we know about Tumas Vayda Zara? How do we know about a ship not becoming Tame? How do we know? Well, the last mission quoted four different Menayans about Yom Kippur, Lashon Zahiris, washing a baby, Pletah Shechazera. So this mission goes back to the Dinei Shabbos of what the shear of various items, what the shear of carrying is chashav enough carrying of the particular item to render one chayav achatas on Shabbos. For carrying on Shabbos. Hamaitzi eats the bashal beitzakala. One who carries that wood, again, it's the shear enough to cook a beitzakala, an easily cooked egg. If it sounds familiar, it should, because at the end of the last parak, we discussed the reeds. The shear of carrying reeds is depends, either enough to make a pen out of reeds, but or if it's too thick to make a pen, then it's enough to cook, to be used as firewood to cook a easily cooked eggs. Here we're saying the same thing as by wood. Gemara is actually going to make a connection and ask why we need to repeat the same idea. Why couldn't I have picked it up from the case of reeds earlier? Tavlin, one who's mighty. Tavlin spices, can't top of Beitzakala. One who's mighty spices, what's considered enough spices? Enough spices to spice an egg which is easily spiced. Now the first question you can explain, when we talk about cooking an egg, I mean it's really the Gemara earlier as well. We don't mean cooking the whole egg because in Shabbos, when it comes to food, our shear is always kegregris. Our shear is kegregris. So we mean cooking a kegregris shear of an egg. So if the gregor is smaller than an egg, then a gregor shear of an egg. And similarly by spicing, it would mean a gregor shear of an egg, assuming the gregor is smaller than the egg itself. Now, different spices can, yes, be mistarif one with another. So if I have only one type of spice that I'm carrying, which is not sufficient to spice the egg, but if I'm carrying it together with another type of spice, each one alone wouldn't be sufficient, but together the combination is enough to give a seasoning to the egg. That would be enough to make a chiyuv for carrying on Shabbos. Klipe gezim, klipe remainim, istas isupua. We had this, we've quoted this a few times already. The shells, the husks of the nuts, or the pomegranate seeds, the safflower, the madder, he's chayiv what shear? These things were used in dyes. The Isha would have on her hat, on top of her hat, she'd have a piece of cloth. The hat was made of netting, and there'd be a piece of cloth, a decorative covering the hat. Enough dye to dye that piece of cloth is the shear one's chayiv for carrying on Shabbos. If he's carrying the ingredients to make enough dye to dye the cloth, then he's chayiv. Carrying the ingredients to make less than that dye would not be enough of a chiyuv. Meraglayim, urine, neser, burius, kumim, ashlig. Urine, neser, natron. The burius, they touch as a soapwort. Kumli is a question that some would say it's alkali. It's different. These are different ingredients. Ashlig, the Gemara is going to discuss as aloe. These are different ingredients that were used in cleansing. These actually are five of the seven ingredients brought in the sugya of ksamim of dam nida, that when you want it, it's really related. For, it's relevant for two ideas. First of all, in order to be mitar the beged, you need to first cleanse the dam from the beged, and then you stick it in the mikveh. He said even if ultimately the rishim, the stain still sticks, as long as you get rid of most of the stain, then then it's still going to be tar once put in the mikveh. But separately, it's also a method to test if it's dam, to see if it comes out with these cleansing agents, you're able to see is it dam or is it some other type of stain. That's another way to determine whether the person's tummy or not. So the Gemara in Nida actually brings an it brings seven different species. Armish is quoting five of them and saying that if one carries these in the amount, to cleanse a beged, how big? Again, the size of this piece of vava, this small cloth on top of the Isha's hat, the size of that cloth, that's enough that one is chayiv for carrying on Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, enough to remove a small bud stain. It could be smaller than that. You don't have to clean the entire beged, enough detergents to clean the beged, that size, the size of cloth, the size of a cloth on top of Isha's hat, even if it's small, a smaller shear, enough just to clean a stain, a kesem stain that we pointed out before, that is also used to determine whether it's dam or some other stain, enough to clean the kesem stain, that's already enough of a shear of chashivas to be chayim on Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda is going l'shitasai throughout this whole entire sugi, already now carrying over for the prior parak, that Rabbi Yehuda is always the one that brings the smallest shear. And again, just to quickly elaborate, we've explained in prior parakim as well, that it's not the pshat that because Rabbi Yehuda holds by one item a smaller shear, it started actually with the rope, the shear, the Tanakhama, the Rabbanan said the shear of a rope to be chayav and carrying on Shabbos is rope to tie it to a basket to make a handle. Rabbi Yehuda says it's enough rope just to measure the small foot of a child to bring to a shoemaker to make him his custom shoes, which is much smaller. So it's not the pshat that just because we do is machmer over there, he holds the shear of rope is mochamer, he holds every shear is mochamer because it has to be consistent. No, the chayre in svara he can hold in one item a smaller shear, another item called the larger shear. But the logic we explained back then from the shayim was that Rabbi Yehuda is the chayre subscribing to the opinion that even something which is less commonly used, if it's common enough, we go busted that shear l'chumra. Again, the smaller the shear, of course, the greater the chumra. The smaller the shear is, we're saying that's enough for a person to be chayif carrying on Shabbos, the greater the chumra. We see Rabbi Yehuda's machmer, even with something that's less common, to use that as a barometer to say this is chashiv, and therefore one's chayif carrying. Since he goes with things that are less common, he should consistently end up with a smaller shear because he gives credence, he gives chashivas to something that's less commonly used. Therefore, he's consistently more chumra. Not stam that he's always one that's more machmer and he always has a smaller shear. It's because he gives credence to things that are less commonly used. Therefore, he'll consistently end up having the smaller shear because whatever is used, he's always going to give chashivas to that which is used even in the least amount, and therefore we'll have the Muhammad Kashir. There's a discussion in Lechabes. Our girsa is Kedei Lechabes. Others have a girsa Kedei Lahavir. Not Kedei Lechabes, Kedei Lahavir. The idea is that the Mishnah in Nida over there, when it describes using these detergents, it wasn't that any one of these items listed. Our Mishnah, the way they teach it simply, is carrying a shear of any one of these items is enough for a chiyuv. Any one of these five items, these five detergents, is enough for a chiyuv. In Nida over there, it's clear that you're supposed to actually use all of these items. Actually, again, it was seven. We'll get back to that in a second. It was seven items, but seven, all seven, one after the next. You didn't use one to any one of these five to cleanse. You'd use seven in a row in a certain sequence, one after the next. You'd use actually six, really, because we'll see one of them goes with the rest of them. But you use them in a sequence, one after the next. So therefore, that would make sense to switch the gears. So, lahavir, sekesma, lahavir, because one alone is not going to be mechabes. Anyone, rather, all of them are involved in the process of being maver. Maybe that's the difference between the gears of lahavir and lahavir. The Shnei Saliyo Taka asks, our Mishnah is listing five ingredients, five detergents. Again, the five detergents that our Mishnah is listing is Meraglayim, Neser, Boris, Kumli, and Vashleg. There's two more that it leaves out from the ingredients listed in Nida. Namely, it leaves out Reik Tapel. Reik Tapel is raw saliva. Reik Tapel, raw saliva, means like saliva if a person hasn't tasted anything, woke up in the morning, hasn't tasted anything, very strong saliva. And Charisa Shabul, chewed up like beans, chewed up beans. Those are two more ingredients that were used in the cleansing process, yet our Mishnah doesn't quote it. Seshay Seo, the reason is as follows. The Reik Tapel wasn't used by itself. It was put together. Whenever you put one of these other ingredients on the stain, you'd mix some Reik Tapel into the other ingredients. Since it wasn't an ingredient in and of itself, the Mishnah doesn't list it as a chashivas in and of itself because it wasn't used by itself, it was only used with other ingredients. And the Charis and Shabul, even though these chewed up beans are being used clearly for a detergent in the sugya over there, Nida, Lamaisa, its ikar usage, its primary usage clearly was food. Charis and Shabul was chewed up beans. Beans are our food. And by food, we know the Shias Kagaigris. And therefore, it wasn't listed in our Mishnah because it doesn't fit the guideline of these smaller shirim because it's a much, much more common use. It's natural use is food. Happens to also be used on occasion for detergent, but it's mainly used for food. And therefore, it wouldn't be considered the shear chashivas, the smaller shear. Maybe according to Behudak, we're saying maybe yeah, but in general we wouldn't consider it the smaller shear to be enough of a shear because it goes based on the shear chila, which is kidei gregris. Okay, effectivemar tanin chad
zimna. One question, just that I don't know why I thought of it now, but when you say kizayis for taking,
so ask the gemara tanin chad zimna. We already said this idea before. We pointed out when we read the Mishnah, the shear of enough firewood is enough to cook a small egg. Kana, by reeds, we said, kdei lasas kumas, either enough to make a pen, quill, imhaya av emrusas, however, if it was thick or cracked, so it can't be used for this quill, then kdei lavasha beitza kalish shabeitza, enough to cook the most easily cooked egg, trufa, which ready, beat the nusa, but if it's beaten and put into a frying pan, but whatever a shear of wood, of reed that's needed to heat up, to cook that egg, that's the shear. So to buy wood, I'd say the same thing. Why is the Mishnah to speak out for us wood? Isn't it obvious? As they were, no. Back to the teeth of the keys. Reeds are not such hard material. So it's used either for a quill. Not for a quill, it could be used for firewood. Wood has other usages. Wood could be used, let's say, as putting into the teeth, they're hard. It could be the teeth of a key. It can have other usages, and maybe even a smaller amount of wood would be enough to be chayev. I feel koshu, even carrying a tiny amount of wood, which could be used for the teeth of a key, maybe that's enough. Kamashbal, therefore, Mishnah says no. Wood chips have to be at least a minimum shear of enough to cook an egg. Less than that's not a shear. We discussed earlier, if you remember in the last parak, that the key of the a person doesn't normally use. Just enough of wood to make the key. Once you already have enough to make a lock, then as chashev, again, we're going to get that svar coming up. There's a difference between the amount that a person starts off with or the amount that's chashev once it already exists. We'll get there. We'll get to those svaras shortly in the next Amud. Tavlin, k'tei l'tabo beit zakala. We said the Mishnah spices, seasonings, enough to give flavor to a small egg. Ramini has the mara steer to this. Tavlin shnayim b'shloisha shemes menachad. If you have different spices, two or three from the same general species, the way they explain this is, let's say you have different types of peppers, black pepper, white pepper, different pepper spices, or even if it's from three different kinds, so it's either three kinds with three minim, with slightly different names, or three the same name, but it's really actually slightly different species. Either way, asur m'bstarif zamzeh, they're asur, and they are m'bstarif. Okay, so far that's good with the Mishnah, no question yet. V'amr Chizkia, Chizkia said, tap of tzadi amin aleph, b'mine mesika shanu, specifically when they all impart the same type of flavor, like over here we're talking about sweetness, havru l'matik tera, since they're all fit to flavor, to sweeten a pot, that's when it's mistarif. Sounds like it's only mistarif, as the Mishnah spells out, the time of the chazru l'matik tera. The reason why it's fit, it makes a shear. Over there the shear could be talking about the way the Mefarshim explain, klei kerem, whatever this is. It's enough to mistarif for a shear iser. But the same question is, only because they impart the same flavor. Halav achi, if they wouldn't be combining to impart the same flavor, then it shouldn't be able to be combined. Yet our Mishnah says enough to season. It seems to be that enough seasonings, even if they all don't complement each other, that's enough to be mechayev in our Mishnah, even if they're not complementing each other, all to the same type of flavoring. Says the Mara, no, hachanami chazlamatik. You don't see the Mishnah clearly like that. A Mishnah also means when they're all imparting a flavor together. Enough, when we say it's enough seasoning combined, it means enough to combine working in the same direction of, let's say, if it's supposed to make it spicy, making it spicy, supposed to make it salty or sweet, whatever it's supposed to be doing, it's enough to go in that direction together. Tasters addresses, this is a Kedai speak of Tasters, always Kedai speak of Tasters, but especially here, it's a famous idea, Tasters quotes, and that is, Tasters asked at first, if it's nice and tam, we know nice and tam always will machmer no matter what the shear is. Nice and tam, whenever something gives off a flavor, we'll always machmer in the shear. And therefore, Tasters bother, why do we have to have a combination of these different spices in order to have chashivas? L'chor, nice and tam alone is enough. Tasters answers, Yeshleim da'afilu. Tastes bothered more than that. Let me say even better. Tastes bothered even if they don't all give the same flavor. They don't give the same flavor. You're saying they're all minimatika, let's say. They're all sweet, and therefore it combines. Tastes, even if it didn't combine for the same flavor, even if it's varying flavors, it's giving flavor. Nice and tam, we know, has chashivas. Answer, tastes, v'eshlemer, big yisayid, afilu, b'yeshbam, top tastes, b'yeshbam, nice and tam, shari, b'sharminim, the nice and tam lef gamu. Tastes saying that avada, just giving flavor alone, is not always enough to say it has chashivas, and it makes enough communis the gabi, isavahet, the gabi, whatever the gabi here, carrying on Shabbos. If something's nice tam of gam, it's not chashivas. It has to be able to combine together to give a good flavor. A good flavor, that's the chashivas, and if one carries on Shabbos to be chayev, and when it comes to isavahet, as an example, extension of this idea, then it would be chayev. If the iser imparts a good flavor into the heter, then as chashivas, and it won't be batal, you won't have the din of bitul b'shishim, or whatever it may be, because the good flavor, the iser is giving a good, valuable flavor. If it's a nice tam of gam, that is a big kula. That's why Kalim would say that already a day old are considered Kalim that haven't been used in a day, even if there's blias in the Kalim, one of the big kulas are, we consider even if those blias do come out, and even if you don't have a shear of bitul b'shishim, we say it's also a nice tam of gam. So another sniff, another reason to be makel, what b'diavad, if one uses a pot for the wrong type of species and it's over a day old, nice tam of gam is one of the svaras to be makel why it is mutter. So over here also, Tais is saying that's why it needs to be chaz l'minim mesik. It's not good enough that's imparting a noticeable flavor, it has to be a noticeable positive flavor in order for it to be chayav for carrying that on Shabbos. Okay. Klipei geizim, klipei minim, satas puah kdeilus begatim. We said in the Mishnah that the husks of the nuts, the pomegranate peels, the safflower, or the matter, it's enough to dye the cloth on top of the hat of the isha. That's these are the raw materials. Only if you have enough to make enough dye to dye the cloth on top of the hat is one chayav for carrying on Shabbos. For a mini, how might someone have shirim kdeilus begatim dugam eliyira? We have a steer. We quoted this actually in the last parak as well. In the last parak, one who is carrying out dye on Shabbos, the chayiv, as long as it's enough to dye the dugma, that's the sample that the weaver had, this little bobbin, the weaver had, it was a sample cloth that the weaver had. It's a much smaller cloth than the cloth on top of the hat on top of the hat of the Isha, and that's enough dye to be Chayim on Shabbos. So why do we need enough of the ingredients to make enough dye to dye the cloth on top of the hat if we're saying dye is enough, if it's enough to dye the sample of the weaver? Says the Gemara, Amar Nachman Amar Avu. We said this answer a bunch of times in that same Gemara in the last Perek. This is the biggest side. When you have a raw materials, then we go based on what's the shear that a person would even engage in making, in processing the raw materials. So for example, these ingredients that we quoted, the husks of the nuts and the peels of the pomegranate and so on, those are the ingredients used to make dye. When it comes to ingredients that are used to make dye, a person doesn't get about making dye unless there's at least enough dye to dye the cloth on the top of the hat of an Isha. That's again not a huge amount, but it's at least enough dye for that. Once dye is already processed and dye exists, one would carry even a small amount of dye. One would use even a small amount of dye to do what? To dye the sampler for a weaver, which is even smaller than the cover of the hat of an Isha. Once something exists, a person may use it, may carry it, may utilize it in smaller amounts than the amount that a person would only begin to use to process in the first place. That's why the shear of the raw materials is greater than the shear of the actual dye. Says the Mishnah. The Gemara quotes the Mishnah, right? The Meraglayim. We send the Mishnah Meraglayim. One is chayef for carrying Meraglayim and the other detergents listed in the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, what about Meraglayim? Tana Meraglayim ad ben Abraham Yem. Meraglayim has to be ad ben Abraham Yem. So the simple types, the way Rashi, it's not really so clear in Rashi, but Ramban brings from Rashi, ad ben Abraham Yem means has to be 40-day-old urine. Has to be urine that is 40-day-old urine. Tosfos takes issue with this. Tosfos takes issue, first of all, b'chlal, with the lashon of this brisa, ad ben Abraham Yem. Tosfos says, ben Abraham Yem, right off the bat, sounds like the urine of a 40-day-old baby. It has to be ben Abraham Yem. Tosfos says, that's not the case. It's actually a discussion. This is the second Tosfos on the page. It's a discussion in the Masechtas Nida, Daf Samach Beis. It's a discussion. It's like the second time we're quoting that same daf today already. Masechtas Nida, Samach Beis. It's a discussion. I mean, it's the same topic, the same sugya, about the detergents here. So it's a discussion over there. By the detergents, it's a discussion whether it's the urine of an older person or younger person. So that's a separate conversation. So why are we saying the shear of a 40-day-old? Taisa says, therefore, don't be gerus 40-day-old. And Taisa says, further, don't even be gerus shell. Taisa says, don't be gerus that it's a meraglayim shell memyayim, which would be mashma that it's got to be 40-day-old urine, because that's not also the case. It doesn't have to be 40 days old. On the contrary, the Gemara there says, vayter that Gemara in Samach Beis in Nida, it says it has to be a meraglayim after 3 days it putrefies, and it has these capabilities of being a cleansing agent. Rather, it means till 40 days. So Ramban based on Rashi is learning that Abraham means it has to be at least 40 days old, whereas Tosfos, and seemingly as the Gemara need to backing him up, says no, it means till 40 days. It has these cleansing powers, as these powers from after 3 days of after left the person's body, till 40 days. After that, it's over, but after that, it's no longer suitable. Okay, that's according to Tosfos. Neser is not true. Tana. Neser is not just like Neser. I'm Pantrin. When we talk about Neser, the Brisa said Neser means Neser of Alexandrius and not Neser of Apandra. The difference is because Neser of Apandra is not as Chashev, so we need a larger shear to be Chayim B'Shabbos. Not that one's a Chayev, but it'll be a larger shear than the shear of Neser of Alexandrius. Burius, what's Burius? I'm Revita Zechel. Burius is sand. Vatani Burius Vachel. We learned elsewhere Burius Vachel. We learned elsewhere in Brisa where it says Burius and Chel, and lists Burius and Chel separately. So sand can't be Burius if it's listed separately. Elamai Burisa Kavriosa. Burius is sulfur. Says that can't be either. Why? Mesve, because we learned in Brisa this is the Gabi the Dinam of Shvias. Burius Va'ol. They added to the list of things about the Gavidin Yishvias. These different thistles, wormwood, Burius is listed, and Al is actually is aloe, which we're going to get back to in a moment. So those are listed, those are included in the Isurim of planting and doing work in the field and Shvias. Visakadaita Kivyasa. Now if you tell me that Kivyasa, that Burius means sulfur, Kivyasa mi isib shvias is sulfur usser on shvias as a subject of shvias to dine shvias. Vatanya, we learned in a brisa, zeakal kosheshle ikar yeshle shvias, kosheshle and the shvias, only things that have roots are related to shvias. Things that don't have roots, things that come from the ground but don't have roots, do not have it in shvias. Sulfur does not have roots, and therefore it should not have it in shvias. So it can't be that Burius means sulfur, because otherwise it wouldn't be included in dine shvias. So back to the question, what is Burius? Again, we first wanted to say it was sand, we said, but there's a brisa that says Burius and chel separately. So it seems to list sand as separate. We then want to say it's sulfur. Sulfur can't be, because otherwise Burius wouldn't have a din of shvias. If Burius is sulfur, it shouldn't be included in the din of shvias. Elamai Burius, what is Burius? Allah. Burius is Allah, is aloe, which is obviously a question, because the brisa we just quoted by shvias does list Burius and Allah separately. Same question we had by sand, we have now as well. Vatanya Burius, but Allah asked the Gemara, the brisa we just quoted taught Burius and Allah. Doesn't that mean that Burius and aloe are not the same thing, they're different. Says Amara, you're right. Trey gavni aloe. Not fair. There's two types of aloe. There's an aloe called burious aloe, and there's a regular separate aloe just called aloe, and those are the two different ingredients. Those are two different types of aloes that are negia for shvius. And in our Mishnah we're quoting as one of the detergents, we're quoting burious aloe as one of the detergents. As taste is a beautiful question, and Kasha's more geschmack for the answer. As taste, I understand. When you asked me before, when you told me that burious means chol, you said it can't be chol because there's a price that lists burious and chol separately. And then you had the same exact question, therefore you then went and said burious means kesofa, we dismissed. You said burious means aloe, and you asked the same exact question. It says burious for aloe. So what did you answer? That must be two types of aloe. There's burious aloe and regular aloe. So why don't you go back by sand and say there's burious sand and regular sand? Why did you have to come up with a new answer? Say the same answer before. Push the obvious question, star question of Tosis. The answer to Tosis must be they knew there weren't two types of sand. It must be they knew that by sands you didn't have a burious sand and a different type of sand, and therefore you couldn't say this answer. Only by aloe were they able to say this answer. But again, the answer is very, it's glat to teretz, but the kasha is more geshmak, very geshmak kasha. Why the Mara did not use that answer or use the same svar earlier? Kimlua. We said in the Mishnah the fourth type of detergent was kimlua. So what exactly is that? A maruda shluf dutz. Kimlua is shluf dutz. What is shluf dutz? Says Rashi. I have no idea. Rashi says, Leisparish Avokachshamai. I don't know what it is. This is his name, but I don't know what it is. The Shulchan Aruch in Simon Kuf Sadi. This is Simon Kuf Sadi in Yeridei, in the Dinim of Ksamim. In the Dinim of Ksamim, it lists, the Shulchan Aruch brings these seven detergents, which we spoke out, even read in the Mishnah, mentioned these were detergents that were used as a way to determine whether it was dam or not, if they can cleanse it, if it's dam. So he lists, the Shulchan Aruch lists the different ingredients, seven ingredients, but then the Shulchan Aruch says, we're not bekiyim in these methods. We're not bekiyim in these ingredients, in these methods, and therefore we cannot rely on them to determine whether the kesem is dam or not. Bira gra on that halacha. Shulchan Aruch says, look at our Rashi. I in our Rashi that says leisparish. We don't even know already in Rashi's day. We didn't know exactly what shluf dutz is, what kimlu is. So if we don't really know, and this is talking about the Shulchan Aruch was written 500 years after Rashi. If we didn't know already then what it is, therefore we can't. We know what the title is, what the word is, but we don't know what that means. We don't know what ingredient it is in real life, and therefore we cannot use these methods to determine whether it's a kesem tame or not. Ashlag, what's Ashlag Amishmul? Shaltinu l'chol nechiyame. I asked all the people that nechiyam, those seafarers, exactly what this Ashlag is. Vramali shenana shema. It's called shenana. This shenana ingredient is actually found in the holes of pearls. How do you get it out? With like a needle. You use like a pointed piece of metal, like a needle, in order to scrape out from the pearls this little junk, this gook, and this gook that you, the stuff you take out is called shenana, and that's used as a good ingredient to cleanse, to help as a detergent. Okay, the Mishnah goes weiter with the different shiurim of what one is chayav for carrying on Shabbos and what amounts. Pilpelos, pepper. Rashi points out there's not the pepper that is found in his locales. We'll see in the Gemara, it's a pepper that's used for bad breath. Obviously, the Rashi actually speaks out, the Rashi in Erla, Taisventov over here speaks out. We're not talking about pepper. We just spoke out in the last Mishnah, we spoke out about tavlinim, spices. Regular, classic black pepper, red, white pepper, that's spices. That's included spices. This is some other type of pilpul, some other type of pepper that was used for altering, for covering up or fixing one's bad breath. So the shiras kolshu, any small amount, because that's what it's fit for, the Mara's just gonna say that's fit for changing one's breath. Vitarin kolshu, what's a tarin? Tarin is tar in any amount. Mini besamim, this is not really spices, this is more like perfumes. Spices for perfumes, umini matzos kolshen, and again, metals and spices, these are for perfume, that's kolshen. Before we said spices enough to flavor food, these types of spices, such as perfume, even a kolshu, has chashivas. Ma'avne mizbech, ma'avne mizbech. If someone's taking out from the stones of the mizbech, or the earth of the mizbech, mekek svarim, mekek mitbechaseim. If the worn out svarim, worn out wrappings for svarim, the shear and all these things is kolshu. Why? Shemasin eis l'gainzim, because they're stored away, they're put away, they're buried, they're stored properly. Rashi explains the Tashmishe Kedusha, famous, just to quickly go over, we know there's a concept called Tashmishe Kedusha, and there's a concept called Tashmishe Mitzvah. The primary difference between Tashmishe Kedusha is Tashmishe Mitzvah is that Tashmishe Kedusha need to be buried. They need to be stored properly. Tashmishe Mitzvah, you can wrap them up and throw them away. You can wrap and throw them away. You have to discard a Bedek Kovet, but you can wrap and throw it away. For example, tzitzis. Again, there may be an inyan if one can't bury it, but once I'm a chliyev to, one can wrap it up nicely and discard of it, but it has to be done Bedek Kovet. Tashmishe Kedusha already have a din that they have to be buried, they have to be treated properly. Tashmishe Kedusha, as a general rule, anything which has letters written on it, anything which is like a parchment, letters written on it, or even over here we're saying the cover of the Sefer Torah, which is, again, it's the Shmishim of the Sefer Torah, which is letters written on it, that is in the guidelines together of Tashmishei Kedusha. Tashmishei Mitzvah are things that are used for a mitzvah, an Esrog, a Lulav, for example, things that are used for a mitzvah, but they're not itself inherently, as opposed to Tefillin. Tefillin would be Tashmishei Kedusha, whereas the Esrog would be Tashmishei Mitzvah. And again, the Madrega of discarding by Tashmishei Kedusha is a higher Madrega, and therefore we're saying one carries on Shabbos, he's chayef, even a small amount, because no matter what the amount is, it's normal to bury. We actually spoke out in the prior perek, something which is derech latzniyah, something which is derech to be saved, to be put away, has a chashivas. So these are considered derech to be saved and put away, even though, again, you're burying it for its chashivas, you are getting rid of it, so to speak, but still, it's considered chashiv and one's chayef for carrying. Rebbe Aimer, even if Avodah Zarah has the same din, why? Says he should be nothing left in your hand from the Cherem, from the Issa of Avodah Zarah. There should be nothing. You should eradicate it all. It should be nothing left. Since it's saying nothing should be left, that means you have to get rid of any small amount. If you have to get rid of any small amount, that gives us a chashivas, and therefore, one is going to be chayiv. Rashi points out that Rabbi Huda must not hold of this idea of latznia, because Bishlam by the Sifrei Kodesh, so you're burying it for its purpose, for its covet, so that's called being matzniyat. But by Dezara, the main issue is to destroy it, not to save it for any purpose. And therefore, we even said, koshe kosher latznia, we said the Mishnah of Ayin, hey, whatever is not kosher latznia, we said, is the mutzi atzasheira, comes to exclude atzasheira, which is not included. Right? So it's Lanak Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda clearly over here saying that Avodah Zarah is included, and they were saying that comes to exclude Atzasheira, it's not included. The Ramban, I believe it is, wants to argue and say that Rabbi Yehuda can fit with that sugi earlier, but he goes to Shitasa. It's beautiful Chap in the Ramban. We know Rabbi Yehuda is the sheet that says, Malacha Shein Tzricha Legufa Wants Chayev. So if I do Malacha, not for the purpose of Malacha, I have a totally separate need for it. For example, I need earth. I need dirt. I want dirt to cover up some spills in my house on a dirt floor. I need dirt for whatever reason. So I dig up some dirt from the ground. I'm not trying to dig up a dirt from the ground creates a hole, creates a, either it's chayrish or it could be baina, whatever the malacha may be, depending on the scenario, in the house or in the garden, in the field. It's chayrish or baina. The malacha that I'm doing, I'm not interested in the hole. I'm not interested in the baina or the chayrish of the hole. I'm just interested in the dirt. That's a classic malacha shein tzricha legufa. Rabbi Yehuda holds it's chayiv. So because Rabbi Yehuda holds it's chayiv, so Rabbi Yehuda would say, it's not pshat that he's stamazay arguing on this din of kosher and kosher latznia. He agrees that as a general rule, you need kosher latznia. He just holds, you need something that you have giving credence to, you're giving chashivas to the fact that the act that you're doing has importance. So according to Behuda, it's not that he's disregarding the whole concept. He just holds that even if I give chashivas as item because I have a chiv to destroy it, my chiv over here is to destroy this avodah zarah, that chashivas alone that I need to destroy it gives it a chashivas, and therefore when I'm carrying it, I'm going to be chayev. So it doesn't mean he argues on the full concept, he just argues on what can be used to give it a shame of chashivas. The fact that I need it for a purpose, even though the purpose is destruction, that alone can be considered enough to give it a chashivas. Okay. So the Gemara, Pilpelis Kolshu. We're saying Pilpelis Kolshu. L'may chazin, what's this tiny pepper fit for? L'recha peh. This is a pepper that's good for fixing bad breath. Itrin Kolshu. Itrin, any amount. My chazin, what's it fit for? L'tzilchasa, for a very strong headache. Mine b'samim, kolshen. Mine b'samim, we say these different types of spices, any amount, as with these different types of metals. Says the Martana, but I'm itzin rech ra. Kolshu. One who takes out something that gives off a bad smell, even a kolshu is enough to be chayev. A bad smell, kolshu of chayev, yes, because they used to use it to ward off spirits. So anything which in his mind, I don't mean to dismiss it, but anything which they felt has a usage, it wards off spirits, that itself gives a chashivas, and therefore carrying it's mechayev. Shemen toiv, kolshu. Similarly, shemen toiv is easy to understand. Shemen toiv is a good smelling oil. That's a perfume. Perfume, he said, shares kolshu. Argaman, kolshu. Argaman is like a purple dye. A purple dye that was also used as for fragrance purposes, not for dye purposes. Dye purposes, we said, already needs a bigger shear. Dye needs enough at least to dye the sampler for the weaver. But over here, it's something which is used also in the context of fragrances, and therefore kosher is enough. And a young rose, even a single petal seems to be of a rose is also considered chasherav to be carried. A single rose of a petal, that seems to be the Rashi learns, which again would fit with the fragrance idea. That's one pshat. The another pshat they bring is that's actually a Aruch wants to say it's not a single petal of a rose, it's the full rose itself. That's a slight deviation from the simple way of understanding from Rashi. Rav Haigayim brings that actually it was not talking b'chlal about an actual rose. It used to be, it was like an ornament. It was like a cotton-shaped rose that was dyed that looked like a fake rose that was dyed. It was an ornament, and since that itself is complete, that's considered chashuv enough, and one who carries it is going to be chayev on Shabbos. Meaning, Matzah Toshkein, metal in any small amount, what's it used for? The Maichazi, what's small amount of metal used for? Tanya, Rav Shimon Elazar, Imer, Shkin Roy Lassis Memena, Darban Katan, 1 second, in order you can make it fit to be made a Darban Katan. A Darban Katan is the little goad they used to use to keep the oxen in line, to keep the animals in line, so you can make the tip of the goad could be made from any small amount of metal, and therefore that gives that metal Chashivas. Tanu Rabban, Haimer Rele Barzel, one who says that he's pledging, it relates to our Mishnah, because we said that the metal, the minimum amount of metal could be used for an axe goad is even a kol shoe, so we get the different minimums of metal, even though it's not really related to Shabbos, this is more pledges to Bedek Abayas. Haimer Rele Barzel, so how much metal does he have to give? Acherim Emer Leifchus Ma'am Al Amma. Acherim say he shouldn't give less than an Amma Al Amma. An Amma Al Amma wide, that's how much he should give. Less than that doesn't have significance. Is that chashiv enough to fulfill his pledge? L'may chazi, what's an Amma Al Amma fit for? Amma basically Kaya Ayrv. It's fit for the Kaya Ayrv. Kaya Ayrv literally means the chaser of the Ayrv, of the crows, of the ravens. It chases away the crows. It used to be like a metal piece they'd put on the roof with like pokes that would make it that the crows won't sit there. So Rashi seems to explain that it was put on the Gaga, the Hechel, and it was there in order to avoid the birds sitting there, because the birds sit there, obviously we know what happens when birds sit in certain places, it leads to not good outcomes, and it gets dirty, disgusting, they litter, and therefore he used to put this there in order to protect that the Arif shouldn't sit there. Taisus, to jump into Taisus brings from the Arach then the Mikdash Rishon, they didn't need it. Why? Because Mikdash Rishon had a higher, we know there's many things that we had a Mikdash Rishon, we didn't have Mikdash Sheni. So one of them is that really an opposite. We didn't have Kalia Arvs in Mikdash Rishon because we had more Kedusha. Mikdash Rishon had more Kedusha, and since there's such Kedusha, the ravens wouldn't even come there. Only in the Mikdash Sheni was it necessary to chase away the crows, to chase away these Arvs. So Taisus disagrees and says, not true, because in my cut, it's pretty clear that in the Mikdash Rishon also there were Kalia Arvs already in the Mikdash Rishon, and therefore that wasn't at least one of the negatives of what we were missing in Mikdash Sheni or Mikdash Rishon. The Kedusha of Mikdash Rishon Sheni in that sense wasn't different. In both Mikdash Rishon and Mikdash Sheni situations, we did have these crow chasers, these metals to chase away these crows. Says the Gemara of Ikad Army, some say it's the same idea, just exactly opposite. The shear of metal one has to give is enough to chase away the crows. V'kam, how much is that? So the first version of it was, the shear is Amal Amma. What's that useful for? To chase away the crows? The second version is, it's enough to chase away the crows. What's that shear? Amal Amma. It's all the same, bottom line, just different directions of how the conversation went. And the Braisa, again, this continued the Braisa when one pledges metals. So when he pledged Barzel, iron, so he said that's the shear of Amal Amma. When he pledges Nechashis, copper, he has to give at least a Ma Kesef. That's considered the minimum chashav amount that one would pledge to the Mikdash when he pledges copper. Tanya Blaz Aimer, Leifchus Mitzinur, Ketanash Nechashis. Rabbi Blazer argued and says he should give at least a small copper fork. So more than enough for a coin Ma Kesef, enough to make a copper fork. Says the Mai Chazi, what's a copper fork used for? Rabbi used it to clean out the lamps and to actually trim the wicks itself with this fork. Mekik Svarim, Mekik Patpachas, we said in the Mishnah that decayed Svarim, or decay of the wrappings, any amount of carrying is Chashiv, because it gets buried, and if it gets buried, since it's Derech Latznia, it gets buried for Chashivah's purposes, therefore carrying it's going to be Chayiv, one who carries it's going to be Chayiv on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Mekik Svarim, Mekik Patpachas, sorry, Amar Yehuda, Mekik de Sifri, it really means worms. The word mekik, which we're saying means decay, means it started to wear out, actually comes from the word, the mekik is a type of worm that was by the svarim. Tchach shirai. Tchach is the name of the worms that attack silk. Ela dinvi. Ela is the name of the worm that attacks grapes. Peh, detaini. Peh is the type of worm that attacks figs. Peh, the Remini has a type of worm that attacks Remainim. Kulasa content. All these worms, if they swallow, they're very dangerous. So not only do they attack these various items, if they swallow, they're dangerous. The Mor brings a story to back up this idea. Hu tamid davi yasu kamei Rabbi Yechanan. There was a Talmud sitting in front of the presence of Rabbi Yechanan. He was eating figs. There's thorns in these figs. He thought it was a thorn. It wasn't a thorn. Unfortunately, it was the pet. It was that worm. The worm that's called the pet. Amalei. So Rabbi Yechon, the gist we have is Amalei Yechon said to him, which is a little bit funny. A little bit sounds almost callous. Katle Peladain. The pet has killed this Talmud. The guy's still alive. He's a dead man. So it seems a little callous. Someone to say if we have this girsa, it means he's telling the person, get your cookie. You better go home and get your affairs in order because unfortunately you're in trouble. Others want to say, others take out the word lay, amar lay. Rather, it's amar. He said under his breath, amar katle peladain. He said under his breath. He didn't say it, or he thought of it to himself. He wasn't telling this, he wasn't being callous to the person who never just ate poison. He was saying it to himself that this child, this Talmud is going to be nifter. The Chashuki Chemin asks, Shmack a question, I forgot where the Gemara brings from, is, but meaning this Gemara elsewhere says that a Talmud that ate something and died in front of the Rebbe, it was considered like a taina of the Rebbe. That in the presence of the Rebbe, a Talmud ate something and died, it was like a taina that happened, in fact, that even happened in the presence of the Rebbe was a taina. So he asks, why over here is our Gemara bringing this as a story? Yeah, we're backing up. It relates to our topic of eating these worms could be deadly, but why are we bringing as a story in Chayot Shabbi Chasaron that it happened in front of the Rebbe? So he wants to suggest that perhaps, he gives a few explanations there, but perhaps it was part of the chutzpah, this Talmud should not have been eating in front of the Rebbe, maybe he's talking about during a shir, during a shmooze, he shouldn't be eating in front of the Rebbe, and therefore it was a chutzpah of the Talmud, that's why this happens. One pshat, he brings the other various malachim, what the story could be, why it doesn't have that same concern of the Talmud dying in front of the Rebbe. Okay, Zakta the Mishnah. One takes out the box of the peddlers. Even if there's many different spices within the box, so he's carrying multiple things at once, and presumably the various spices all had enough of a shear by themselves, he's still in chayev, one chatas for the whole lot, for the box, because he's carrying one box. He's carrying one box, even though he did many different transports of many different spices, and each spice won't be enough, he's chayev for one box. So he says, of course, push it. It's not, we know if a person does the same halacha multiple times, in one alam he's chayev only once. So what's the chiddush? So Tosfos brings from any time, once a chiddush, even if he becomes aware of the different spices that he transported one after the next separately, and he brings carbon, he brought a carbon for the first spice that he realized he carried in the box, and then he found out there's another spice in the box afterwards, he's not chayev another carbon. Once he's chayev for carrying the box, he's chayev, and he's aware of the box, he's chayev, it's considered an awareness of whatever was in the box, and therefore he's chayev one carbon, that's the chiddush of the Mishnah, he's chayev only one chattas. Zerai Nagina, garden seeds, Pachas B'Gregregus, he's chayef even a shear less than Gregregus. It's a very, very interesting statement. It means even a drop less than Gregregus, even a little less than Gregregus, one's chayef. The reason is because even though it's a food, and Gladys gets back to your point of foods always being Gregregus, but since it's a food, an equally common usage of seeds, besides for eating it, is using it to plant, exactly. It's using it to plant, and therefore, since it's normal to use it to plant, so therefore, the shear is even Pachas B'Gregregus, whatever that amount of shear normal to plant is, says even five seeds alone is enough to be chayev. It's actually a machloikis in the Rishayim. Rambam says in Pirush Rishayim, Rabbi Dimser is arguing. He's saying even five seeds less. Pachas McGregor is would be much more. It'd be closer to the shear of Gregor's, much more than five seeds. And Rabbi Dimser came along to say even five seeds is enough. However, Rashi seems to learn that he's explaining. He's not coming to argue. He's explaining that it's not Rashi Be'as. It's Pnei Yeshua based on Rashi and Daf on coming up on Tzadik Aleph on the next Daf that Pnei Yeshua learned based on Rashi that Rabbi Yehuda Meir was not arguing. He was explaining what is the shear when you sell us a garbage. You didn't give me a shear. You know what a shear is? Five seeds. Five seeds is the minimum amount that a person would plant. We had this in the prior parak as well. A person wouldn't go out and plant less than five seeds, we explained. Five seeds a person would plant, and therefore that is the shear of Pachas B'Gregus. It's one and the same. Rabbi Yehuda Meir is not arguing Tanakama. He's simply explaining. Okay. Mishnah continues on. Yes, very good, Diak. 100%. That's a good clout to know. Typically, the difference between whether they're arguing or not is whether it's Amar Rabbi Huda or Rabbi Meseira or Rabbi Meseira Amar. That's correct. Okay. Top of Tzadiyam Beis, Zerek Yishuim Shnayim. If one takes out cucumber seeds, that seems to be, there's no agreement. Everyone agrees, assuming there was disagreement until now, everyone agrees that two is enough. Two is chashev by cucumber seeds. Zer deluyim, gourd, also shnayim. Zer plumitzri, Egyptian beans, also shnayim zashir. Chagav chai, a live locust, tar, that's kosher. Kolshu, any size is ready enough for a chashivas, and the reason is because not just for food, it's also used for children to play with. And therefore, since they play with it, it's a toy, so funny toys. Again, the whole idea by the psik reish v'nicha is also, back then that was a toy. Psik reish v'layamas. The whole concept is, you cut off that chicken's head and it's not going to die, so even if your intent was not for the chicken to die, when you cut off the chicken's head, it's going to die, and therefore you chayev, it's in fact it's a davar shemis kavin. Why would a person cut off the chicken's head not wanting it to die? Back in the day, they didn't have basketballs and baseballs and blue balls. The kids would play with chicken heads. They'd play with chicken heads. So the idea would be to cut off the head of a chicken to give it to the child to play. The person does not want the animal, the bird, now for food purposes. He's simply cutting off the head, maybe shechtas or not al smatashkas, but he'd be cutting off the chicken's head in order to give to the children to play. It sounds like in our days, it sounds like a very morbid idea, but it was used as a toy. That's where the whole concept of psik resha of liyamas comes from. So here too, same idea, the chag of chai, even though it's a small amount, it's less than a shear of a kagregris, there's still the chiv is going to be chayev because it's normal to give the child to play, which came back to, I think Laser may have gotten up for a minute, but it gets back to Laser's point from before. He asked about this beria, when something is a complete entity, does that alone give you a chashivish of a shear, or when it comes to food, does it have to be a kagregris? Seems very clear that we're saying it's got to be kagregris, because we're saying the reason, the explanation again given for this locust is because it's given the child to play. If that's the whole shear, then that's a beria. Seems like beria alone is not enough of a reason. Okay, so like the Mishnah Vayter, mace, a dead, that's when it's alive. Mace, if it's dead, kagregris, once it's dead, the child's not going to play with it. So then we're talking about, again, a kosher grasshopper. It's dead, kosher even if it's dead. So the shear is a regular food, shear of achila, which is kagregris. Tsperis kremim, mechai be mesa, the tsperis kremim, the bird of the vineyard, which is not really a bird. It's actually type, again, another type of locust. So over there, bain chai, bain mesa, whether it's alive or dead, kosher, it's the shear of it is a kosher. Why is that? Because that locust was used as for refuah purposes. That itself gives a chashivas. One who takes out a live non kosher grasshopper locust is going to be chayev kosher. Why? Shemasiyah is on the cut to sleep by because you give it to a cut to play with. There's a fundamental machlek going on here between Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda is adding even non kosher. Why? There's not Rabbi Yehuda arguing about size. Remember we said he's always the small shita. It's not about size. He's always being machmer seemingly, but not always the small shita. His chumro is he's adding even a non kosher locust because what he's saying is it's really based on a kula. He's saying that people do give non kosher locusts to children to play. Tanakam held you don't give non kosher locusts to animal a child to play. Why? Because the child may come to eat it. And that's going to be a topic of conversation in the Gemara. Are we concerned about the child giving the child something not kosher to play with when the child may come to eat it or not? We'll see that shortly. Says the Gemara, Vemini.
Why don't you use
when you're carrying it, it's trapped?
What's the Svar of Chayinai Sisatzle? Baby doesn't carry himself. It's trapped. The live thing is lighter.
Right. I'm not sure. It's a good question. I'm not sure. Maybe you only apply it to people. I'm not sure. Maybe you don't apply it to animals. Certainly, if it's tied up, you wouldn't apply it. So maybe if it's trapped, you don't apply it. I'm not sure. That's a good question. V'ramini, esmer vestira, zevel, v'cheikat, v'cheladak, zevel, fertilizer, and thin sand. Remember, we had this, we quoted this in the Mishnah on Daf Pei. Halach is, k'deila zabel, kelech shokrov, dir Rebbe Kiva, v'chamar k'deila zabel kresha. Wait, a machleik is, if it's enough to fertilize a stalk of cabbage, or even a stalk of leek, the Rabbanan said even a small share, stalk of leek, but it's enough to fertilize one stalk of cabbage, one stalk of leek. So here, in Amish, we're talking about, when it talks about the garden seeds, we're talking about enough seeds to plant multiple things, and over there we see even fertilizing, tending to one leek stalk, one cabbage, is enough, says the Gemara, the simple answer that we said before again, with the very difference between raw materials and existing. Ramar Papa Hadazria, Hadlazaria, Lafisha Ainan Mutarech, Lightsi, Nima Achas Lazria. A person will not be busy planting one seed. He's not going to plant one seed. Once the seed's already planted and it took hold, he planted multiple seeds. Once any one of those seeds took hold, and now you have a stalk, an actual stalk of cabbage or a stalk of leek, a person will tend to that single stalk of leek or that single stalk of cabbage. That's only because it already exists. But to plant to get one stalk in the first place, a person doesn't do, and therefore the share for seeds is less than the share to tending to those already existing items. Zerik kishuim, cucumber seeds, turn our button. We said the mission is enough. Two is enough to be chashuv. Hamaitzigarinim, one who takes out date pits, imlantia, date pits can be used for multiple things. If he's using it to plant, shtayim. The share is two, like the other items in the mission, like the cucumber and the gourd, and so on. If it's imlachila, if it's for eating purposes, not for humans. Humans don't eat date pits, but animals do. Kamali pichazer, enough to feed the pichazer. First, discuss what on earth is a Jewish guy doing with a pichazer. Either inherited it, or it's enough to sell to goyim. It's chashivas because he could sell it to a guy who owns chazerim. He could sell it to the guy as animal fodder. Okay, how much is mali pichazer? Achas, even one pit is malei pichazer enough to be chayev. Im lahasik, we're up to option three now. What if he's using this pit for fire, for fuel? Kelebasha beitzakala, back to the shear of cooking a small egg, an easily cooked egg. Im lachashbain, if he's using it for remembering, they used to use, instead of like keeping coins, they would keep like tokens as an exchange, as in the place of the coins. So if you're using it for like token purposes, shtayim, the minimum share is two. That's one shita. I remember no chamesh. Why? Because up to five people don't need tokens for. They remember their mind. 1, 2, 3, 4. They remember their mind. Only by five do they start to need tokens to keep track, and therefore only from five and up is it considered chashav. Tanabanim. How many tishtayimim miznav sus miznav apar? One takes out two hairs from the tail of a horse or the tail of a cow. Chayev is chayev because those are used to make some sort of trap for birds. Shemasniim isam, the Gemara says it. The Bryce says it. Shemasniim isam nishmam. They're used for making traps. Mikshish achazer. If one takes out the like hard hairs, the bristles by a pig. Achas is chayev. Even take one bristle. Tsuri dekel. If one takes out the palm branches. Shtaim, only two. Teri dekel. The palm vines. Achas, even only one. These are the amounts that are used in some fashion, and therefore the chayev, let's say for the bristle of the pig, which is stronger, it could be used for a stitching. It could be used for different usages. Tsuri dekel is used for making a basket. So once it has some usage, whatever the minimum amount of shear of usage, whether it's two or one, is enough to make a chayev. Okay. Tziporis krumim mechayev bemeisa kolshu. We said by the tziporis chayev, tziporis of the krumim, which we said it sounds like birds, but it's the locust of the vineyard. Whether it's alive or dead, a kolshu is enough because it's used for healing. My tziporis krumim. What is tziporis krumim? I'm Rav Palya Berry. It is Palya Be'eri. What does this do? I'm Rabaye. Meshachah b'tikl dechadava. It's found in the young palm that's wrapped around the single vine, so a single branch of the vine. V'avdil chukma, and it's used to gain knowledge. Achle lepalga demine. One eats the right half of it. Upalga desmali ramle begufs nachsha. He eats the right half of it, and the left half of it is thrown into this copper tube. Chasam b'shitin gushfani, sealed with 60 seals. We've spoken in the past. Whatever says 60 seals is usually a guzma, but it just means to use all different types of material: earth, pitch, wax, lead, whatever you can to cover it. Fine. V'tali be'evra desmala, and he hangs it on the. Remember, he ate half. The right half, he saved the left half, he ground it, put it into a copper tube, and then he puts it on the left arm. Simanach, the way to remember which arm it goes on is, Lev Chacham Liminai, Lev Ksilismai. That's the famous pasuk in Gelos, that the Lev Chacham is on the min, the heart of the Chacham is on the right side, the heart of the Ksil is on the left side. We always say, actually, I heard a nice Kshbak Abshat from one of the Rashivas of Kerem Yavda this morning, I heard it in the Shir, but we always say a beautiful Jewish in this, we know a person's heart is actually on his left side. What does it mean, Lev Chacham Liminai, Lev Ksil Bismail? So the Pshat we always say is that a person's heart physically is on the left side. But when Reuven comes over to Shimon and asks Shimon for a favor, and he's asking Shimon for help, Reuven is facing Shimon, so Reuven's heart is on Shimon's right side. Leif Chacham B'Yamin means that a person realizes, my heart is not for me, my heart's for Genim. My heart's for the person that's corresponding me. My heart's is for the person facing me. Leif Chacham Leif Ksil B'Smol, and a person thinks his heart is only for himself, that's B'Smol. Leif Chacham is B'Yamin, a beautiful drush that we've spoken out in the past. But I heard this morning in the shir that more Derech Musar, Leif Chacham B'Yamin, when we're learning, so what I've learned in the past is on my right side. When you're learning a sefer, whatever you've learned is on the right side of the page. Whatever you're going vaita in the future is on the left side. The chacham knows that's more important to go over what he's already learned, more important than plowing ahead vaita. Leif chacham b'yamin, leif ksil b'smal. The ksil, he always wants to go vaita. He wants to be able to say, I finished. The ksil is busy with the smal. The chacham is busy yamin. A cute pshat from one of the reshivas in Kerem B'Yavna. Okay. V'chacham b'may, b'kam b'dabay. And when he does this, hagging this tube, he'll gain as much knowledge as he wants. The gummer comes to buy, and he'll learn as much as he wants. He'll be able to understand. He'll be able to gain knowledge. Then afterwards, he eats. He learns and tries to attain as much knowledge while it's hanging on his arm. And then he eats it. In order to retain the knowledge that he learned. Okay, some special powers of this grasshopper of the krumim. Okay, Rabbi Yehuda Eimer Afamets Rita says one who takes out even a non kosher locust is chayiv because it's able to give it to a child to play with. What's the machlekes? Tanakam is sabalai. My Tanakam says you're not chayiv for carrying out a non kosher locust because you don't give it to a child to play with. Why not? My taima tilma achelo. You don't want to give it to a child because I may come to eat it. Now we know that lach is a person's not machlekes. Famous idea, a katan echel nevelos. A person's not machlekes that says to stop the katan, but to give him something not kosher to eat, that's a very different story. That's already more problematic. Fact more yachid tarnami. Why? Rav Kahana, we should be concerned that what? that giving the child a live locust, even kosher, should be a problem because by giving him a live kosher locust, he may come to eat it while still alive. He was passing the shishvina in front of his mouth. Take it away. To eat it when it's alive. So we see if it's eating when it's alive, even kosher, insects that are kosher, eating when they're alive are usher. So why are you allowed to give it to the child? Why is that not a concern then? So obviously the concern can't be straight up that the kid may do an isra achila with it, because otherwise it will be a problem even with a kosher grasshopper. Rather, what must be el duma mayis va'achol? Tanakam was concerned, avada, eating when it's alive was never concerned. The Tanakam is concerned that by a non-kosher species, it may die and the child will eat it. Rabbi Yehuda holds, imayis katam mispasaflis. Rabbi Yehuda says, if it dies, it'll be maspidit. Meaning, it's very simple. Everyone agrees he doesn't eat a live locust. And therefore, no concern giving him a live locust. Rita says, take it a step further. You give him not just a kosher locust, you give him a non-kosher locust. Because everyone agrees he doesn't eat live locusts. And Elamai, what are you concerned about? Only once it dies. So if it's kosher, fine. It's fine if he eats it. But and therefore, Tanakam says, dafka kosher. But non-kosher, don't give him because he may come to eat the non-kosher locust. Rita says, no. Once you gave it to him as a pet, if it dies, he's not going to eat it. People don't eat their pets if they die. I mean, it's actually pretty funny. Well, whatever. Someone just was telling me that that they not that they eat it because it wasn't kosher. They used to get a pet every summer. They didn't realize it, but the parents at the end of the summer would take the pet and give it to the Masharis, to the Ozeret, the help, and the help would actually take it and eat it. And they had no clue. Had they known back then, they would have been traumatized that their pet was being eaten. But the point is, the Rebbe Yehuda held that you can give the katan, even a non-kosher grasshopper, when it's alive, there's no concern of eating it. Tanakama agrees to that. Elamai once is dead. Tanakama was concerned. Rebbe Yehuda is not concerned because Rebbe Yehuda says a child doesn't eat the pet that he was playing with, he won't come to eat afterwards, and therefore it's not a concern. Hadron Lachar Rabbi Akiva, we finished the 9th parak. Tomorrow morning, we will start parak HaMatzdiah, we will start the 10th parak. Have a wonderful day.